an offering to you. Oh Lord, we bring an offering to you.
Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful to be here for your many blessings. I ask that you'd be with all those that are sick this morning, that your healing hand would reach down and touch them. We ask that you'd be with John as he's gone through this surgery and this process, that your healing hand would be upon him, that he would heal quickly. Father, be with us now as we open up and study your word. May you meet personally with each and every one of us. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. I usually get kind of antsy when I don't know what I'm going to preach on by Thursday or Friday, Thursday I had no idea, and I was out delivering and working, and all at once God started giving me things, and I had three different things within a short time, and I got to put in my notes on my phone or it just leaves me. So I had these three things ready, and Friday I was off work, so I thought I'll get it. I know one of these three things God wants me to preach about, and then Friday was a good day, but it was a bad day. You ever have days like that? A good day, but a bad day, and it was a good day, but it was a bad day, and a lot of obstacles, a lot of things, and I really got grouchy. I had a lot of problems, a lot of things going wrong. Had some blessings too, though, so I was really grouchy, and I get home, and I got home about 3 hours later than what I'd planned to get home because of the problems that I was having, and I'm finally got my mind cleared, ready to sit down, ready to pray, ready to begin to work on the sermon, and the three topics I had, I'm not preaching on any of them, and I think that this message is really for me about trusting God. Does anybody, you don't have to raise your hand, but does anybody ever struggle with trusting God? I do. And you might say, that's terrible, Pete. I'm just being honest. There's situations in my life, it's even going on right now, and I'm struggling. And I'm asking God, trying to understand, because results aren't happening that I want to see happen. Things aren't going the way that Pete plans them to go. And to sit back and go, God, I trust you, but could you change things up a little bit? Could you do it this way? Could you do it that way? And so this message is really for me today, and y'all's just going to get to listen. And I pray by the power of the Holy Spirit it'll help some of you. And I'm going to begin in Psalm 62. I'm just going to read three verses there. And if you want to open up your Bibles, we'll be in Matthew 1 after that, where I'll be reading several verses. But Psalm 62, 5 through 8 says, "Find rest, O my soul, and God alone. My hope comes from Him." As I just read these few simple verses, and I think, finding rest in God alone. Because see, when we put our trust in things, when we put our trust even in circumstances and the way that we think things are going to work out, we're not going to have rest when things don't go our way, when things are messing up, when it seems like the world's falling apart around us. But when we put our trust and our hope in God alone, verse 6, He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. Well, I get shaken quite a bit. Situations happen and I go, God, why is this happening? And I have to stop and I have to refocus and I have to pray, and then I'm okay. But immediately sometimes situations and circumstances can really shake in me and really cause me to question and wonder what's going on. Verse 7, my salvation and my honor depends on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in Him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to Him. For God is our refuge. So you think, how many of us really trust in God at all times? Do we really, really trust in God at all times? When we're sick, well, that might be the only times that some of us pray, really, really pray, is when we're sick, when we're hurting, when we have a family member that's sick, when we have a family member that's hurting, when we're facing a financial difficulty, when we're facing a difficulty at work, and all those things can shake our faith, and make us question God. am I in your will? God, why is this happening? Why am I struggling? Am I the only one that does that? Because I don't know. Maybe this was just for me, but I struggle with that in areas of my life, and I've really been struggling lately with just some areas that I'm I know God is able, but sometimes I just don't understand. And as I was thinking about this and being close to Christmas, I began to think about Joseph and what he was going to be facing with the woman that he's pledged to be married to ends up pregnant. And so that's where we're going to go in Matthew 1, and we'll begin in verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. I read this and I see so much there of Joseph's love for Mary. Oh, we've been studying about love on Wednesday nights and really getting in deep detail on love. But to me, this is such an example of righteousness and love that Joseph didn't want to go tell everybody, she's a cheat. Look at what she's done. We're not even married yet, and she's pregnant with some other man's child. And expose her and ready to stone her. She could have been stoned. But because he was a righteous man, and I believe because of the love that he had for her, he was just going to keep it all quiet and discreet. But verse 20, but after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. And this is just a side note, but this is what Christmas is about. This is it. It's funny, me and Crystal went a couple weeks ago to Fayetteville to look at the lights up there, and we're walking around the square. I wouldn't drive all the way up there if that's the only thing you got to do, because it's not very big, but it is pretty. If you're up there, you should stop by and see it. I thought it was interesting that I saw some Muslims there walking around taking pictures and stuff, and I thought that's kind of odd. And they had these big smiles on their face, and you could tell that they were excited to see what was happening. And I thought, how can that be? This is supposed to be the celebration of Jesus, and these Muslims are up here taking pictures. And I thought, the world has diluted it down so much so that it's about Santa Claus and presents that people don't even know what Christmas is about anymore. That's a side note. That's not the message, okay? But Joseph, When he seen and the angel of the Lord had appeared to him in this dream, he decided to, okay, I trust, I believe. And so how many of you would say, well, Joseph, though, he had an angel actually appear to him in his dream. So, you know, it's a lot harder for me to trust. I don't have any angels appearing to me. I don't have dreams that give me wisdom and instruction. So, yeah, Joseph, the angel actually spoke to him, so he's good. But for me, I don't have that. That's why I have trouble trusting. That's why I have trouble believing things sometimes. But 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. This is our vision. This is our dream. That's what the Word of God says, that all that this book is God-breathed. It's useful for each and every one of us. So you can't say, well, God hasn't appeared to me in a dream, so I can't trust Him as Joseph did. God has given us instructions for every area of our life in this book. And it's truth, and it's Word, and it's Scripture. And where you're struggling in your marriage, where you're struggling with your kids, where you're struggling with your finances, whatever area it is, you're struggling with sin, you're struggling with addiction, whatever area it is, God has given us instructions. He might not be appearing to you in a dream or a vision or walking down the road, a light shone down from heaven, but He's given us instructions so that we are without excuse to not trust Him. John 17:17 says, sanctify them by the truth. Your Word is truth. See, this Word is the vision, is the instruction that we have now so that we can trust God, that He can sanctify us, so that we can be holy, that we can be righteous. God has given us everything that we need to live and to follow and to trust in Him and not waver and not fall, even without a vision, even without an angel appearing to us in person. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And see, this is where my mind kept going. See, when we trust in God with all of our heart, as Joseph did, when we trust in God with all of our heart, things change. We begin to act differently. We begin to walk differently. We begin to talk differently. And when it says lean not on your own understanding, well, what would Joseph's understanding have been? She's a cheat. She's cheated on me. She's pregnant. I'm going to divorce her. See, when we begin to lean on our own understanding, we begin to assume things, whether they're truth or not. We begin to follow after things that aren't always right, because it's our understanding, and it's what Satan wants to do, is he wants to get us off track. He wants to make us to assume the worst and to think the worst. And that's where our trust fails, isn't it? So you guys know, like it's been a little over a year ago when we were in Colorado for our 25th wedding anniversary. The last night we were there, we'd been up on the mountains, we'd been hiking, I'd hiked and walked more than I ever do. I'm not that active of a person, you know. And the last night there, I thought I was dying. Literally, I thought I was dying, and I prayed and I said, God, I'm kind of slow, you know that. If I need to go to the hospital, you're gonna have to do this and this and this. And all those things lined up, and I thought I was having a heart attack, and Crystal took me to the hospital, and I was fine. I don't know why I went to the hospital. I was not right. Crystal pretty much drove us home from Denver. And I wasn't right all the way home. It took a couple days, and I was finally feeling better and everything. But in my understanding, I was fearful. People on their deathbed that I've met with and talked to, and they're full of joy, they're full of hope, they're excited to see Jesus. Man, that's awesome. Y'all, I was fighting for every breath in me, and I was scared. My understanding was, I could be dying right here, you know? And that fear crept in. And I was trying to pray and pray through things, but the fear was still there. And my understanding was going rampant and wild. And y'all, that's where Satan wants us. He wants us in fear. He wants us, as Peter walked out on the water when Jesus had come. And what happened when he took his eyes off Jesus? He began to sink in the water, and he began to cry out, and Jesus immediately pulled him up. But that's where Satan wants us. He doesn't want us living a life full of trust, full of seeking God. He wants us in fear and assuming the worst. Assuming the worst is what's going on around us, what's going on in our families, in our friends, that they're talking bad about us, that they're gossiping, whatever the situation is. So our understanding, what do? We see things, and that's what we believe. We see circumstances, and that's what we believe. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, for we live not by faith, but by sight. See, our understanding is what we see. But that's not how we're supposed to be living. You know how many, we like crime shows. I've kind of gotten burned out on them, but for a long time, the Datelines and 48 Hours and all those, I've always liked watching them. But with all this new DNA stuff, you know how many people are being found innocent that were convicted because of eyewitness testimony? It happens all the time. An eyewitness said, that was the man. Period. That was the man, and they've gone to prison. And they may be in prison 20, 30 years, and then all at once DNA evidence shows they weren't the man. We saw a story the other night. I won't go into detail, but this poor man, all he had to do was say, I did it. I've learned from my mistakes, and he would have been released from prison. Eyewitness, his wife is who had put him there. All he had done is said, I did it, I'm sorry. He'd have been released from prison. He'd been in prison for more than 20 years. And one of the parole guys says, it always bothered me that he wouldn't just confess. And he maintained his innocence. DNA testing, he was innocent. After 20-something years, he was innocent. His wife still doesn't believe it. She believes it was him. Still to this day, even DNA evidence proved that it wasn't him. Our minds can play tricks on us. That's what I'm trying to say. Is what you see really reality? Is what you see really what's going on? You know how many people, they look beautiful on the outside, they look handsome, but they're so full of evil, they're so full of mean. But our eyes say, oh, that person's popular, that person's beautiful, that person's handsome, and we're sucked in. That's not how we're to live. And that's how Satan gets us so messed up. But we're to live by faith, not by sight. And I was thinking about Naaman in 2 Kings. This was the man with leprosy. And he goes to Elijah to be healed. And Elijah tells him, go dip in the Jordan 7 times and you'll be healed. And what did he do? He got mad. This river's filthy. I expected him to come out and to wave his hands and pray over me and call down and me be healed. He just says, go to the Jordan 7 times and dip and you'll be healed. See, sometimes we in our trusting in God, we want the flashy, we want the excitement, we want, wow, the church service, everybody get up and jump in pews and run around and screaming and hollering or whatever. You know, we want the excitement, we want God and to hear His voice audibly say, take the job or don't take the job. Move your family. You know, we want to hear God's voice in some way. We want the excitement, we want the flashy. But you go back to Proverbs 3. And 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. See, my own understanding will mess me up. But verse 6 says, in all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make your path straight. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make your path straight. Y'all, sometimes it's not the excitement, it's not the flashy, it's just praying and saying, God, will you lead me today? God, will you direct my steps today? So Friday, took Crystal's car to just have a simple oil change and tire rotation. That's it. No big deal. Met my mom for lunch. It's going to be a great day. The Honda dealership calls me and says, this and this and this is wrong with your car. Ka-ching, ka-ching, ka-ching. We can't do nothing till we fix these things. Car's driving fine. It seems fine. What? So I said, well, if you say it needs to be fixed, fix it. So I told my mom, well, I guess we got to kill some time. I call back 45 minutes later. Our lead technician looked at your car and says there's nothing wrong with it. But we still can't rotate your tires because there's something wrong with your tires. They're new tires. So we won't rotate your tires, but your car's ready. Praise the Lord! Didn't have to spend all that money getting it fixed. Said, I'd call the people you bought your tires from and take them to them. Am I boring y'all? I'm sorry if I'm boring y'all. I'm just trying to tell you. And so I get my car. I go to the guy where I bought the tires from. And he said, they just need rotated. They're just wearing, man, it's no big deal. We'll just rotate them. That's all they need. Okay. Sitting there, and he comes, he says, you know the little tool that undoes your tire, the lock nut? We can't find it anywhere. Well, they just did it. I go out and help him, and then my mind's thinking, well, maybe Honda has the standard one. Maybe they didn't dig it out, man. So I call the Honda dealership. I'm on hold. I drive all the way back across town, pull into the parking lot at the Honda dealership, still on hold. When I pull up, they're all visiting. Nobody's talking. Nobody's helping a customer. By then, I'm feeling happy. I get out, and the guy sees me coming. I said, sir, I just took my car to get the tires rotated, and they can't find the little tool. I was nice. I didn't yell. I just said it firmly. I'm not lying. That guy took off sprinting, running out to the shop. I guess he could tell. And then the mechanic laughs. I can see him laughing. Oh, I forgot to put it back. It's sitting on top of his toolbox. Got to drive back across town to get the tires rotated. By then, I was wanting to get home in time to study and time to pray before Krista got off work. By then, it's 3 o'clock, and my day's been shot, and I was just grouchy, but I just began to pray. And I said, God, I don't understand. Like I said, it's a blessing my car didn't have all them problems, but my day didn't go how I'd planned it. But to just stop and trust God, a week ago, I'd got off work early. We were planning on going to the Mena Christmas Parade. So excited to go. You guys have ever been to the Mena Christmas Parade? It's awesome. It's the best parade we've ever been to. So excited to go. You guys know the week I had last week, many of you. It was a terrible week and battles and struggles. Friday, we're going to get to enjoy the Christmas parade and everything's going to be great. Good ending to a bad week. And then Hayden gets sick and we're not able to go. And it's just... And Tim was texting me and being the loving man that he is, he even called me as the fireworks show was going and saying, see what you're missing? But I had texted Tim earlier in the day and I said, I don't understand it, but I'm not going to try and push and force something that it feels like roadblocks keep coming. And sometimes y'all, when there's something you want to do so bad, and there's roadblock after roadblock, do we ever just stop and say, God, are you trying to shut a door here? I don't understand. It's not sinful. It's not something evil. But God, things just aren't lining up. So I'm going to stop and wait on you and trust you. And see, that's where I'm telling you the little things. But there's things deep down in my heart right now that my heart is broken. And I'm struggling and I'm saying, God, I don't understand. And I still don't understand. But I'm trying to trust. I'm trying to be like Joseph, whose wife or woman that he's pledged to be married ends up pregnant. And in his understanding would be she's a cheat. Kick her to the curb. But we lean not on our own understanding. In all of our ways, we acknowledge Him, and He will make our path straight. He will lead us. He will guide us. He will direct us. In Jeremiah 17:7, it says, but blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in Him. He will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the streams. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. And I was going to stop right there. But I think verse 9 is important. It says, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? Now, that's a total different message. But can I tell you something? There's so many people that say, well, my heart's leading me. My heart's guiding me. My heart says do it. And so they just go and do it. But the heart's deceitful and wicked. See, where our trust needs to be is what the Word of God says, not in our own understanding. Our trust needs to be in what the Bible says and how to handle those situations, not in our own understanding. Not if my heart does flip-flops every time she walks in the room, but she might be the devil. You just don't know. But how many times do we just, we lean on our own understanding and our heart's leading us this way? Your heart can be deceitful. Are you trusting in what the Word of God says and how God directs our path? When I was thinking about the deep waters and the deep roots, and last winter, I think it was, or the winter before, that we had that real bad ice and real bad cold winter, and every one of my shrubs looked dead. I mean, they were horrible looking, and I was about to dig them up, and Crystal's dad said, I wouldn't dig them up just yet. They, you know, I'm hearing people saying that there's still some life in them. Y'all, they were like, you could break the branches off. It looked horrible. So I thought, well, I'll leave them for just a little while longer because I'm lazy and I didn't want to dig them up, you know. And then all at once, there was some life. These things that looked completely dead, there was still life in them. They looked tattered and worn by the environment, but there was still life. And now they've grown up huge again. I'm having to trim them back. Why? Because they had good roots. Y'all, life's going to beat you up. Satan's going to beat you up. It's going to be a struggle. But when we got those deep roots and we're trusting in the Lord, then when the storms of life come, we can have confidence and we can say, God is able. Psalms 23, 2 and 3 says, He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. I want you to think about how many times we've been in storms, we've been in struggles, and all at once we begin to pray, we begin to seek the Lord, and it's just like a quietness and a stillness comes over your life, and you say, I can handle it. Because God's with me. God will not forsake us. God will not leave us. God is with me. And in Romans 4:3, it says, what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. So I guess the final question, and we're going to end. Do you believe God? I mean, really, that's what it boils down to. In whatever the circumstance is, do you believe and do you trust God? Do you have enough of this Bible in you that you can go, I'm facing this dilemma, I'm facing this storm, I'm facing this situation. I think about the doors, and I think it's in Revelation 3 where it says, no man can shut whatever door God opens, and no man can shut whatever, or can open whatever door God, no man can shut whatever door God opens, and no man can open whatever door God shuts. I think that's in Revelation 3. But how many of us are really stopping and praying, saying, God, I don't understand, but I'm going to trust in you. You know, sometimes looking back over your life, 50 years, 20 years, 10 years, 5 years, you can go, I understand now. But there's things that I can look back on my life and it's like, God, I still don't understand. I may never understand till I get to heaven, but God, I'm going to trust you. Let's stand. Father, I thank you for your word today, and I thank you for all you're doing. Lord, you know the struggles in my life and where I've been struggling to trust. Lord, I pray for wisdom. I pray for insight and faith. And just as Abraham believed you and it was credited to him as righteousness, Lord, I pray that I would just believe you and trust in your word. Father, if there's any in here this morning that's going through a storm, that's going through a trial, that's going through a struggle, Lord, and they've been wavering, they've been going back to the world, they've been leaning on their own understanding and not seeking you, may at this moment they begin to seek you once again. May their heart's desire to be in whatever situation they're in, to find what your word says, to study the Scripture and to apply it to their life. And then we may be confident, know that you are with us, that you're leading us in paths of righteousness beside the quiet waters. Lord, if there's any here today that needs a fresh start,
that needs a word from You, Lord, may You bring it to them right now through their spirit. As we studied last week, You make Your mercy new every day. Father, may they understand that they can ask for forgiveness and Your mercy will be made new today in their life. Lord, help me to trust. Help me to not waver and help all of us to do that. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you need prayer this morning for anything, I'd love to pray with you.
So hide me now, our God.
I was going to share the story about Paul and the ship and sailing, and the storms all started to come, and they're all in distress and they're all worried. And but what did Paul say? If we all stay together, we'll not lose one. And they cut away the lifeboats, and he said, just calm down and eat, if you guys remember the story. And God will be with us. God's going to protect us. So don't abandon ship. Don't walk away from God. If your life's a mess right now, grab hold of Him with everything that's in you and just trust. Even when you don't understand, I don't understand. I don't have all the answers. But grab hold of God with everything that's in you and trust Him. He will lead you each and every day of your life. I hope He'll lead all of you back tonight at 5:30. Please be here. Eat, enjoy. We're going to have a great time. Judges, contestants, be here right at 5:30. So we can get all that started so nobody will be hungry, ready to eat, and we're all sitting there waiting on the judges to get done. But we're going to have pizza, drinks, chips, dips, all that stuff, play games. I promise I'm not going to be mean on the games. Nobody's going to be called out individually. You got to do this or you got to do that. It's going to be team setting other than we're going to do a kind of a cornhole competition tonight and stuff like that. And so look forward to seeing you all at 5:30 this evening.